We have some guests here this morning, and I'm still praying for the forward guests that will fill up our space right here, but some of them are not giving blood. Actually, if you're wondering why the blood trucks out there, 6 years ago, Megan was in the hospital at Baptist for 38 days and needed to receive some blood transfusions. And then I think it was God laid on Jimmy Link's heart to have a blood drive every spring in behalf of my daughter receiving blood to have our church donate. And so there's still some plenty of spots. We'll work in. If you didn't come here ready to give blood, we'll take it. We'll send you out there. They can take walk-ins and do that. So if you haven't given blood in a while, you can do that for the blessings of the family. I know she's not in the room, but Megan is here for the first time since January. If we feel a little standoffish or kind of guard her a little bit, it's just she does have a wound back, and we do want to make sure that she can receive some unnecessary germ transfer. So you can say hi to her, do kissing noises. If you can do kissing noises, she'll hear that and she will laugh over that. So thankful that she could be back with us today. But we're thankful that everybody's here. You know, I try to tell people it's amazing when we talk about our special people like April and Morgan and Megan, is that they're more angel-like than we are, and they teach us how to become more like Jesus. And you get a chance to spend time with our girls here, do that. And it all based around an attitude. And we've been doing a series for our guests. We've been doing a series on really examining what Paul was trying to tell the Philippian church, that we need to have the same attitude that of Jesus Christ. And even though you may think that's just entirely too impossible, it is not. By the power of God's Holy Spirit that you will pursue and seek for and desire to live by and put into practice the teachings of Jesus, that you develop an attitude. Just like we develop attitudes when we're dealing with crises in all different aspects of life. It's either going to be a godly attitude or an ungodly one. And Paul wants us to understand that it will please the Lord if we would develop the attitude of Jesus. So Jesus even taught that. He taught it in Matthew chapter 5. So if you would go there, I just want to read down through what we've covered so far and stop on the rest of the story of being pure in heart. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Let's pray. Father, we want to ask you to remind us and to keep diving into your word to find out the attitude of your Son and the attitude where we truly find blessings. The true happiness is making you happy. and making you pleased with us. And it starts from within. It starts with our heart. It starts with our compassion. It starts with our desire to live the way that you created us to live, in union with you and one with you. But we admit that we are sinners, and we have separated ourselves from your image. But we're thankful that you sent Jesus. We're thankful that the lessons and the teachings of Jesus have lasted for so many years so that we can examine them and desire to please you as well. That people can come to a place like this, not to hear from us that we are the righteous ones, but that you are the righteous one, and that you will turn our ungodliness into your holiness. And so that we can follow you and please you and be with you for eternity. So Father, help us to have another attitude check. We're continuing on with, blessed are we when we have a pure heart, because then we'll truly see you working today and then see you for eternity. And it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, you as our Father, and by the guidance of your Holy Spirit from within us, we say together, amen. You know, Jesus has a huge, huge goal. Last week I had a picture of a dartboard, and even though that we kind of throw darts, our aim is to hit the center and not be satisfied with just hitting on the outside. That we want to hit the target. So the target is a huge goal that Jesus asks us to have in mind, and it is an attitude to become. We accomplish it only if we're willing to take the steps necessary to be able to make decisions accordingly and put those things into practice. So when we talk about setting spiritual goals, we are willing to do whatever is needed on our part and let God do his part of leading us. In our text, Jesus tells us what the target is. Actually, the target is not about the pure heart. Actually, the target is we want to see God. But the step is to have an attitude that is pure from within. A lot of people would say, well, yeah, but you can't see God. You see the creation of God. Well, that's true. If I saw God for his splendor and his majesty right now, he was so powerful that I would not live. I could not live any longer. I would die. One of these days, we're going to see that. We're going to see God in his spirit. But we can see his spirit working and moving across in people's minds, hearts, and actions. We can see him in the teachings of people. We can see him in just circumstances. I just met a young couple that's here this morning, and first time that they walked in, I just asked him if this was the first time they're there. You know, again, too, I see so many faces at so many different places. I have to re-ask, is this your first time? They said, no, this is our first time here at this congregation. And I said, you know, the only thing I'm going to go ahead and tell you about, you're an answer to prayer. Now, I don't know what their decision is going to be, and that's okay. We want God to guide them. We want God to lead them. But we've been praying for this church. Admittingly, and this is not a disgrace, okay? I really want to make sure that it's not a disgrace to grow old. Amen? Because I got news for all of our young people. One of these days, you're going to look like me. But I tell you one thing. You know what I'm trying to remind back into our older brothers and sisters? even much more. You know what Palin asked me all the time is, he goes, why do churches ever get to the point where they just lose their excitement about God? I said, well, it has nothing to do with age. But I don't know. He might call me to go to the mission field when I'm 90. I don't know. It's just amazing what God has planned for us. And we get to look out and look at it and seek after it. Because really what makes us happy is to be pure. Create in me a pure heart, O God, Jesse's saying. Thank you, Jesse. Did a good job with leading us with his God through his soul and through his heart. And when Dylan does that, and when Kevin does that, and when David does that, that we come before God to let him know how much we're excited about what he's done for us, plus what he can do from within us. The blessed are the pure in heart. Because the goal is, we want to see God. We want to join God. We want to see him loving people. And we want to be used by him in loving people as well. We want to join in his mission of seeking and saving people. But the thing is, as I've realized, is that there's some heart issues that we have to deal with in order for us to decide for the next step. Usually, people, you can't make people love people. I can't make you love people. But your desire to please the Lord, and when he commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves, then by your obedience, he'll create in you a pure heart and a love for people. He'll change your heart. And so our goal is to see God. So our question again, as we follow up part two of Blessed Are the Pure in Heart, do you want to have a pure heart? So last week, this is already in your notes, make a commitment to God's values, his value system. Give up your values for what God values. Draw close to God. Be willing to obey him. Seek after his guidance in your obedience. And then get real with God. Get real with the part that you admit that sometimes I play church. Sometimes I look righteous when I'm not righteous. I mean, that's what the religious rulers did. That's what the hypocrisy of the Pharisees were. They liked people looking at them as if they were great. And Jesus had a problem with that. Jesus said they needed to get real. Jesus actually told them that they're whitewashed tombs. They're full of dead man's bones. They look good on the outside, but inside, they're impure. And so he tells them, what you got to do is you got to clean out the inside of the cup in order to be able to display the outside correctly. So make that commitment. So here's number two. How can I have a pure heart? Well, I got to commit to God's values. And this one, make a commitment to God's kingdom work. Make a commitment to God's kingdom work. Purity of heart not only entails committing myself to what God's values are, his ethical and moral, in an ethical and moral sense, I also must get on board with what God is doing. It's not just saying, yeah, I agree that's sin, and that I should not live that way, It's actually then taking the next step and saying, I want to get involved with what you're doing here on this earth. I make a commitment to God's kingdom work. My heart is pure in the sense that I have single-minded determination to join God in the working of the progress of his kingdom here on this earth. In working hand in hand with God, I can see him more clearly because I have become one with him in my purpose. So, my question for Kevin is this. Do you want to walk hand in hand with God as he builds his kingdom here? You know, that's what we pray. Remember when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On earth as it is up there. I want his reign to be down here. It starts with me, but I want it to be in other people. So how does God go about doing that? He goes about searching for people. I'll tell you a quick story. Mary's not here this morning, but Mary Nichols, you know, our sister Mary Nichols, if you know who she is, she's had a lot of physical issues, hasn't been able to be here at our assembly, but one of the things I want to at least let you know is that she hasn't forgot about doing kingdom work for God. She was at the doctor's office the other day, and actually a lady that had been in a really bad car accident came in, had a head injury, and her and Rhonda started talking about each other and their situations and what they're dealing with. And here's the question came up, is that have you ever visited a church? And the lady said, yeah, I went to church, and I'm not going to mention which group or whatever, but yeah, I've gone to church, and I've been going there for quite some time, and then because of this accident, I haven't been back. You know the two things that she noticed? Nobody called her, and nobody talked to her about her salvation. Can you call that church? So Mary said, they just said, what about your soul? Well, actually, the lady said, well, I've been reading scripture, and I just went and started following down to what Jesus taught, and comes upon this this whole area about baptism. And I really need to learn a little bit more about that because I'm not sure exactly what's going on. Mary gets her telephone number, gets her name, and then she calls me. We're trying to build a relationship with a gal named Trish. Start praying for her. She's a very timid lady. She's going to be timid in the crowds, but we can reach out to her, hopefully in her home. Hopefully, and it all came from because Mary's body needed to go see the doctor, and Trish's body needed to go see the doctor, and somehow God led them to start talking about her soul. Now, if that's not God at work, I don't know what else is. And I think God gives us those kind of opportunities every day.
Right.
And most of the time, we don't act on it because we don't see him. If I want to have a pure heart, it's not just about cleansing my soul. It's that actually, after he has cleansed my soul of my sin, out of response for my forgiveness that he gives me, not anything that I've ever learned or earned at all, but since I didn't earn forgiveness, I receive his grace, I accept his mercy, but then I want to join him in trying to save other people because he has saved me. It's not that hard. I really believe that will solve any outreach problem. that it takes a process for us to learn. That's why I'm glad we decided to call our small groups disciple groups. Because a disciple has a meaning. A disciple means I actually want to put into practice what he modeled for me to practice. And hopefully we're getting together twice a month or even in our life with each other so that we can examine Jesus and then go out and be Jesus to other people. And when we start loving the way he loves, then we join God in his kingdom work. So, now, if I want to do kingdom work, there's what did I come up with? I think there's four different things. So here's your fill in the blanks underneath the kingdom work. Number one, we've got to recognize that Jesus is in charge. None of us are in charge of the church. The church belongs to Christ. He's in charge. Now again, I'm going to have to emphasize what church means. Can't go to church. Some people say it's a common terminology that we use every day. You can go to a building. That's something you can do. But you can't go to church because the church is you. Ecclesia. The called out ones. The ones who hear the call of God's Spirit to follow his Son back to him. That makes you church. That's what makes you church. Not because you own a facility and you meet there regularly at a certain time. Not because you do some kind of methodical system on Sunday morning and you go through it. That doesn't make you church. What makes you church is, are you hearing the call of God's Spirit for you to have a pure heart and join his work? We just need a place to get out of the rain. I mean, this winter, we need a place to get out of the rain. It rained a lot here in North Carolina. It was cold. We just need some place big enough and warm enough for us all to get together. And then when we get here, our aim is to remember Jesus and build one another up. And sometimes we get caught up with doing church, and we forget that Jesus is in charge so that we can be the church. If we are to grow a pure heart, we are to see God. We must recognize and applaud the fact that Jesus is in charge of the church. That starts with me and the members that come here. Colossians chapter 1 says this, verse 18. This is what Paul writes. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. We've got to watch ourselves when we put, that's why Jesus was just saying, the traditions of men, if you allow it to nullify the word, you'll start worshiping your own traditions instead of worshiping me. And it'll nullify anything that I teach. So now, I not only have to be committed to this fact that I need to have a pure in heart, that I need to adopt God's values, I need to celebrate it and willfully play myself under the authority of Jesus. Make him your Lord. Number two, adopt a family, team, or body mentality. Adopt a family, team, and body mentality. If we end up living in a go-to-church kind of understanding, then the only time we interact with each other is during a 10:30 time together. I don't believe I can find that in Scripture of the way God designed the church to be. Now, I'm not advocating that we meet every day as a whole assembly, but somewhere, someplace, we need to be connecting with each other every day in this body somebody is connecting with somebody, and you're connecting with somebody to be able to have this. You are my brother. You are my sister. I love you. I'm concerned about your daily walk. Also, I'm concerned about your neighbors. Do you have some friends? Can I pray for them? A team. I tell you, when I played football, I would be really, really in bad shape when I jogged out on the field to go up against my enemy, my opponent, and the only person that jogged out on the field was me. I would have to snap the ball to myself. I would have to block for myself. I'd have to throw the ball up and then run underneath the ball to catch it myself in order to be able to win the ball game. God didn't design the church for individualists. He didn't design it for that. He designed it as a body. That's why Paul would say one part of the body can't look at another part of the body and say you're not needed. You can't do that. But brothers and sisters, as I'm trying to speak about, hey, I really believe our love for each other. We're not going to say, well, Nancy, I don't think this body really needs you. I know we don't have that kind of heart. But I think where we can grow is to understand that when she mourns, I mourn. When she hurts, I hurt. When she's happy, I'm happy. Yeah, Megan Morgan has really taught us that. There are times we're tempted to look at other families with healthy children and have an enemy. But you know what I'm learning? We got little creatures like this fellow right over here. I'm so happy. He's helping us. I'm so happy he has a home. A few people who love him. Amen. And what they finish his breakfast. It's not about what I don't have. That's what my friends and my family did. And we do that with each other. Now, I will have to say, I'm one part of the body. And it's hard for me to develop. There's people in our church need relationships that I can't reach. And I think God wants to send you to fulfill the need of a family member and a friend and somebody who connects and loves. It's just not, we don't rely on just a few people to be family. We're all to be family. Romans 12, verse 5 says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We're connected to each other. Just church is not a place, like I said, for individualists. It's for those who understand that we are trying to accomplish the demands of a team effort. If someone doesn't want to work as a team or a body or as a family and to adopt the vision that God has given for his people, being in Christ's church is going to be really hard for you to accept. With God in our sight and with our hearts pure, we recognize that belonging to this church family is much more than having our names on a membership roll. It's making a commitment to be a vital part of God's kingdom, building workers together. And you'll be hearing lessons later on about everybody being able to do their part. I think most of us out sitting in churches would be involved if they were helped to know what their part is. Okay? And I've got to talk about that because there's different between talents and actually servanthood. So we'll deal with it. Number three, last one. Well, next to last one. Develop your spiritual gift. Everyone in this room, according to 1 Corinthians, has one. And the same is true for you, since you are so eager to have special abilities that the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. Seek out, let's just say, okay, not everybody can sing. Right? Well, in a way, everybody can sing. Maybe not everybody can lead a song, but everybody can sing, as long as you make a joyful noise, right? Okay? But let me ask you real quick. Is there anybody that we would probably look and say they don't have the ability to serve? Anybody don't have ability to encourage somebody? Is there anybody that don't have the ability to give somebody a phone call and say, I love you and I'm praying for you and I've been reading this verse and I just want to lift you up today with this verse? Is there anyone incapable of doing that here? I think what we've done, I know Sister Billy probably don't text, do you? But she makes phone calls. Good night. Do you still have the dial? You still have that I think she still has that finger hole thing, you know, that kind of thing. But she wears her fingers out calling people. Because she has the ability to do that. She might not have the ability to go from house to house anymore, but she has the ability to make calls. Great example. Develop your spiritual gift. I do have, if you want to talk to me about, I don't have a clue what my spiritual gift is. I do have a way that we can probably go through a design program thing to kind of get close to where you are in your spiritual gift. See me on that after today if you want to find that out. Number four, live with an internal purpose that motivates you to ministry. I don't know how many times I will say it or have said it and how many times I'll say it in the future. I'm not the minister. I am a minister. And I'm looking at 100 and roughly 10 ministers. That's what I'm looking at. Ministry is for all in the body of Christ. 1 John chapter 3. Verses 2 and 3, and especially verse 3. We are God's children now, and we will be and what we will be has not been revealed. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. And everyone who hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This morning, talking about blood, I know Jesse's going to lead us in a song, Power in the Blood. If you feel like your heart is not pure, it's a good day to let the blood be purified. You need to be baptized into Christ to receive forgiveness for your sins. And then follow Jesus into the water, and then come out to live the new life in practicing his attitude. It's a good day for it. It's a good day to give blood. It's a good day to receive. And if you need to respond in any way, just do it.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Of the Lamb,
there is
sin and pride. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power
in the blood.
In the blood. Jesus, your King, there's power.